My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. Today we have a guest from the state of Michigan, Andy Chapman. Welcome to Inside United.
Thank you, Mr. Kubik.
We're very happy to have you here, Andy. Andy is a regional and clinical educator for Heart to Heart Hospice. She spoke and gave a seminar today to the employees of the United Church of God. The title of the seminar was Death is Certain, Timing is Not. She spoke about how to prepare ourselves for a meaningful discussion on the subjects of death. Andy, we're very happy to have you here to share some of the things that you talked about today. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about your background and what drew you to this line of work.
Well, it was a very interesting situation that we had. Maggie Thomas was a longtime member of the Flint Church, and when she became ill with pancreatic cancer, my husband and I took care of her. And the last 3.5 months of her life, she lived with us and she passed away in our home. It was through that experience and going through the care that we had with hospice and the dying experience, we had no idea what was going to happen. We were very unprepared, like so many people are. And after Maggie died, it was one of those things that I said, you know, this is what people need. The ones left standing need to have that support. And it was support that we didn't get other than from the church members, but we weren't really prepared for death. And even though we had hospice in, so I decided that maybe this is what we need to do. So I went to nursing school.
And that's what actually caused you to go to nursing school?
Absolutely.
Okay, I know that you spoke about that. I've been trying to put all the pieces together of your life. I know I've met you before, but this has been just a wonderful experience today to listen to you for 3 hours and now to do these podcasts and find out more about you. So I've actually been trying to figure out your age. You told us at what age you started, how many years you've been doing this, but I will not cover that on this
program. That's okay. That's okay. Just to ease your curiosity, I'll be 65 this year.
Okay, so we'll get that out of the way.
You quit wondering.
So then she became a registered nurse.
Yes.
And then when we were talking today, she came to give this seminar, and I thought this was something that she did as extra credit or something special, but this is what she does.
This is what I do.
And tell me what it is that you do and what is the point of your presentations and how do people get you to talk?
Okay. Well, first of all, the big problem is how do they get me to be quiet? But I have written 47 in-service programs. Most of them have a medical twist to them. And I also write for Wayne State University. I write continuing education credits for nurses and social workers. And it was just something that happened. I just kind of fell into it. The company that I was affiliated with was purchased by Heart to Heart Hospice, and they didn't know what else to do with me. So they said, we'd like an education program. So here we are. And now I go to all kinds of different events, a lot of assisted living communities, community events out in the public area, and discuss situations or topics that they would like to have covered. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to see the lights go on in the attic, if you will, you know, when they understand something.
Well, today, as you talked, you know, at first when the subject of death was brought up, it was like, ooh, what is this? You know, yeah. Kind of macabre.
Is she going to wear her black cape?
Well, but then the more I listened to it, would you believe that I had a certain joy in that? Right now, among my peer class, you know, you gave your age, I'm 71 and a half.
Okay.
And I'm having, you know, my peers dying, you know, younger than myself, and others who will be, and who knows where I'm at. I feel like I'm still in my 40s. I feel very, very active, but who knows what life brings. And our life and our departure from this earth is not just for ourselves, but we don't die to ourselves. We die to our children and to those around us, our peers. And it gave me a sense of support, a sense of, well, I know what to do. In fact, in some ways, it's going to change the way I think about this and the way I even relate to other people, of making up to certain people and, you know, working with my children more and spending time with them and thinking about things in a different way because of the things that you told us in the presentation today about our children who are affected by this and the effect it has over broad people. The person who dies, they know nothing.
Right.
But the people afterwards are the ones to work with.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, sometimes I go away from a presentation wondering if it made any difference. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
People were up there to talk to you afterwards, and I was wondering if you'd even come to this because they were, I thought that you had gotten lost in the building because people were following you and asking a lot of questions. Well, some of the things that were important in the way you presented is the types of programs dealing with hospice, mm-hmm. and that's a word that, again, is frightening to people because when they say, oh, he's in hospice care, oh, this person is basically at the end of their life. It's just a matter of making them feel comfortable until they die. But I would like you to tell us about hospice care and also palliative care that you covered today that gave a different sense of usefulness of both programs and applicability to us. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, let's cover palliative care first, mm-hmm. Because nobody wants to say the H word. Mm-hmm. So we'll cover that one last. But palliative care is essentially comfort care, which is hospice also. But with palliative care, if a person is undergoing treatment for a serious illness or even a terminal illness, but they're having symptoms related to that treatment, the palliative care is there to manage those symptoms, not to cure the person necessarily, but to take care of those symptoms while they're undergoing treatment. Hospice is for someone who has a life expectancy of 6 months or less. If the disease runs its normal process, you're not taking curative measures, and we're keeping you comfortable as well. I do have to say that I think we do exceedingly well, and to the point where we've actually had people get so comfortable and so healthy on hospice that we've had to release them because they're not sick enough, which is marvelous. We love those mm-hmm. graduations. But that's really the difference between the two. One, you're still seeking treatment and need symptom management. The other one, we're managing all of the aspects of that disease process until the person either recovers or passes away or dies.
One thing was shocking today in what you presented is that how few people really understood it, especially among doctors, mm-hmm. that 70% don't even know what it is.
A lot of them don't, mm-hmm. and it's really frustrating. The other thing is that when the doctors do talk to their patient who's not being cured, oftentimes they won't talk about hospice, saying, well, it's like I failed, but they'll say palliative care. And we're only giving half of what is available to the families. We need to give better information so that they can make the choice of what's right for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, palliative care, as you already pointed out, is a much more desirable term. And in Canada, they call hospice care palliative care. Is that correct?
That is correct, because mm-hmm. hospice means derelict, and they don't want that.
What types of treatments, and this could be helpful to our audience, to kind of expectations when they have someone in the family who has heart disease, COPD, diabetes, and so forth, and cancer, where should they find hope, and how could they find help?
Well, first of all, we have to have better conversations. We have to have better conversations so that they even know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen. We need to have very frank conversations. And as I said in the seminar, Mrs. Jones, you have whatever, and we'll treat this as aggressively as you would like to, but we should also talk about other options of care, that being palliative care and hospice care, mm-hmm. and not running away from the word. So we need to be honest about what's happening with that prognosis. And then also explain the difference between palliative care and hospice care and what they're trying to achieve. What are their goals for the time that they might have, and let them achieve those goals.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that you went into from there in that discussion was to talk about other considerations when one reaches end of life. Areas like a living will. Mm-hmm. It's amazing even in our audience, you know, today we had people who talked about, well, we have a living will, and they had a question based on that. Some people have no idea what that is.
Right.
You know, they absolutely don't know what you're talking about. They live life day to day. Of course, we never know when our days come to an end. They could come, as you mentioned today in the lecture, in the seminar, they could come as a tragedy where our life ends bang, you know, with an accident or some tragedy, or it's drawn out and, you know, goes on and you plan for it more. What are some of the things that you would recommend to people listening here to start thinking about?
I'm glad that you asked that, because I think of the young families, even just the newlyweds that have only each other to worry about initially. But what we need to think about is, if you drive a car, you're out there in traffic, tragedy can happen. Disease can happen, yes, but tragedy, those things that we don't plan for. And so I would say that a young couple or young family, start looking at advance directives. Start having that discussion early about what your death would mean to your family, and start thinking about those things. When the tragedy occurs, or even if you're expecting a death, if you don't talk about this with families, they have to make some pretty rapid and difficult decisions. And to me, when you're doing your advance directives, your power of attorney for medical or financial, or the living will, all of this says, I love you and I want to prepare for you. But we're not having those discussions, and that's what we really need to start doing. Whether you're sick or not, if you're alive, you need to prepare to not be alive.
Well, there's one thing for certain. They say death and taxes.
Yeah. I think that I'm going to be taxed after I'm dead, too. I don't know. I'll probably find a death tax somewhere.
But that is the one thing about the human psyche, the human existence, is that death is so final. There's no way to bring one back from it. Death is so final, and it's a part, of course, theological in the plan of God, you know, as to what he has. But we have to deal with the practicality of it in our society and with the people around us, the people we love, because things can change very rapidly.
Very much so.
What other things would you recommend as far as planning for the end?
I would say discuss with them, I mean, it sounds terrible to say, but discuss them what funeral arrangements you would want. When the person dies, there are 67 things that have to be done within 24 hours, and it's insane to think that you're going to be thinking clearly, rationally about this. So having those discussions and setting things out first, helping to plan your own funeral. Mine is going to be a blast. That's the way I see it.
You told us about your funeral already today and the kind of drinks that you'll have.
But again, it goes back to that preparation to make things available for our family that we would want them to have that security. And sometimes that means, if we're having these conversations, maybe it changes how we save money and prepare for our future and not put things off. The someday I'll do this thing. Now you're going to start thinking about, you know, what if tomorrow doesn't come? I want to go ahead and do this, but I also need to prepare for my family as well. I think that children, we don't talk about death openly enough, and children just don't know what to expect. And you look at our country today, and it's clear that they're living for the moment.
But I have been part of families where there were no plans.
Yeah.
I mean, almost zero plans, and the people were at an age where they could die. There was not even, they couldn't even find the will. In some cases. So that is something which a person should plan for their children. It's not for them. It's for their children and the memory that the children will have of the parent or uncle or whoever, the, what, whatever their relationship is.
Yes, yes. And we know that life is so uncertain. So it's wonderful to start thinking about dying so that we live differently.
One thing that was interesting today, again, there were several things that were interesting. I had not been to a seminar this was so gripping as yours, when I didn't even want to go. And now here we have.
I love your honesty.
And now, you know, we're not, now we're talking about it. Now we're wanting to find out more information. But how can we start a conversation with those close to us about this? Frankly, my wife and I, you know, we have certain plans that we've made, but we have a discussion here within the last couple of years or last year even about, okay, should one of us die, you know, mm-hmm. not make it home? Where are the passwords? You know, where are the passwords for, you know, some of the accounts that we have, for some of the programs that you have, for, you know, even your Microsoft account or your, mm-hmm. you know, well, I know my wife's Google account, you know, password, but what types of conversations should we start with those close to us and perhaps maybe just not quite as close?
Well, obviously, you know, you hit it right on the head. You want to make sure that you have your financial information set. That is something you have to start with first. Secondly, I think the children need to also be aware of some of this, because what happens if both you and your wife, something happens to you? Now, you have to expect that these kids are going to go through shock, and now what do we do? And I've seen that happen, where people were not prepared and they're walking around in a daze. The sad thing is they make mistakes because they're not prepared for this. So, yeah, secondarily, we need to let the children know too, just mm-hmm. in case.
Andy Chapman has brought us some very, very practical and very thought-provoking principles and concepts for us to think about in our day-to-day lives.
Thank you.
I want to thank you very much for appearing here. We'll talk to you in part two about some ways that we can approach the subject of death and to help somebody who's confronted with death and how to confront their fears. We'll cover that in part two. We will have resources available. We'll put that onto the notes dealing with this program of how to contact Andy and how to find out more about this. So thank you for joining us Inside United. Come back soon for part two.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.